Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello, everyone.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This special holiday episode number 128 is once again being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
So, tis the season we're in. I cannot believe next Saturday is going to be... Not this, but next Saturday is going to be Christmas.
Christmas Day. Yes, sir.
The weather in our area, Gwinnett County, Lawrenceville in particular,
is starting
to feel a little bit like winter. We talked about winter last episode. When does that begin? January?
23rd. December. No, December.
Okay. So 2 days before Christmas. So in the mornings, we've got a lot of frost, super cold, 32, and then you walk out at noon, it's 61 degrees. So it's kind of weird.
It's very weird.
But anyway, so that's the weather report. I have just a couple things to talk about today, and I wanted to definitely focus on the holiday season, in particular Christmas. A couple of articles I pulled. Before we get into that, do you have anything you want to start with?
Well, I mean, mine are holiday related as well, but they're not necessarily articles. They're more like what we're doing. I want to talk about Operation Santa and what our staff is doing there and that kind of thing. But we can certainly talk about your stories first.
Sure. So on my agenda, Christmas in the practice, I want to talk about maybe some of your family traditions, if you have any.
Sure.
I do want to talk about some Christmas hazards to pets.
Okay.
Probably a lot for people as well. Before we get into that, this was a really, really cool article I pulled this morning. It's only it's a study that was done about patients with refractory seizures going into like status epilepticus, right? So they're in a continuous seizure that the article got a little bit deep about why they don't respond to some of the drugs we typically use, such as propofol, phenobarbital. It's all about upregulation and downregulations of some of these receptors and chemicals in the brain. But the long story short, in this study, which again, the N or number of pets in the study was only three, the pets, being redundant, were refractory to the traditional treatment we would use as like a CRI, continuous rate infusion of an anticonvulsant. The pets continued to convulse. And so the three things that were administered, do you have, it's something we use commonly in the clinic. I'll give you some hints because I did not give you the article.
Dextromethor
is one.
Yep.
And what else?
So the only thing about dextromethor is I don't necessarily understand why it works. I guess I would have never thought it's an anticonvulsant. I know it's going to sedate the pet, but like why? What action is it taking?
So let's talk about the drugs first. So dextromethor, ketamine, an old drug.
Ketamine is an anticonvulsant on a CRI.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
And then
ketamine,
hypothermia.
I get ketamine because of the like catatonic, like the pet's just going to stop. It's the way that the drug works, right? The pharmacokinetics of it. But hypothermia is interesting. Why do they think, is that just like shutting down the brain?
Yeah. So let me just real quickly go over the highlights. And again, this was a little deep at times
for me. So these are for pets that, like, essentially we see them and they seize through all of our normal therapies.
Super
and
refractory.
We're like, oh my gosh, there's no other option but euthanasia at this point.
They come in status. We give them diazepam. They calm down for a minute. They start seizing again. We place an IV catheter. We start them on a CRI of propofol at the appropriate dose. They continue to seize. We add in phenobarbital, CRI, or you know, big loading dose. They continue to seize. And so
So the reason they're seizing could be multifactored, right? So this is, or is this just true epilepsy? This is not like a toxin.
No, these are epileptics.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, treatment resistance, it talks about the GABA receptors and upregulation of excitatory N-methyl D aspartate glutamine receptors, NMDA. Long story short, neuronal changes reduce the efficacy of GABAergic or GABAergic drugs that we commonly use, phenobarb and propofol. So it's just the changes going on in the brain, and again, the chemicals and the receptors is why these drugs don't work. Ketamine decreases the excitatory activity of glutamate by blocking NMDA receptors. Minimizes, anyway, again, deep. Minimizing neuronal cell death and glutamate excitotoxicity. Dexdomitor can decrease sympathetic activity via attenuating noradrenaline release, which lowers excitation and metabolic demand. In the cut off of my article. So anyway, again, deep stuff, but cut to the chase. Commonly used drugs for anesthetics and heavy sedation.
But now these
David
are
Brewer
like.
et al. Have found a way to kind of mix up a concoction to help with the refractory seizures. So I don't want to talk about the why anymore because I don't understand any more than I told you. I can't even say the words.
No, I understand. So that is very, very deep, right? Like GABA receptors, mu receptors, all this other stuff.
As we started about talking, but you're like, oh, yeah, but I wonder why.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I don't understand. I mean, I
GABA,
do, but I don't. GABA receptors.
gabapentin,
GABA,
commonly
GABA.
used drug, extremely commonly used in the veterinary industry. Don't really agree with it these days. So anyway, that's a whole nother soapbox. Let's talk about the holidays.
Let's talk about the holidays. So, let's talk about traditions at first.
Okay.
Do you and your family have any like traditions like you must do every year?
Yes and no.
Okay.
We have somewhat moved away from them as our children have gotten older and as many of our kinfolk, in-laws, etc., family have passed and people have kind of started doing their own
Dispersed.
thing. Which is okay. I'm okay with it. You could say it's sad in a way because you do not keep up the traditions, but if we really, really loved them, we would have.
Of course.
So we used to make a ton of cookies and give them to friends and family and Hannah's therapist and whatnot. Probably one of my spouse's biggest traditions was we would make springily cookies, which was a special dough. It has anise in it, and you have to get this special rolling pin that has these little squares that have reverse impressions of like a leaf, a bird, a this or that or the other. So you'd roll this dough out, you would cut it up, and then you would let them air dry. And so we haven't done that in probably 3, 4, 5 years,
Oh,
but
wow.
that was a big one. We used to actually always decorate the tree on Christmas Eve night.
What? So you'd have just a bare
Yeah,
tree
which is
until
kind of
Christmas Eve?
weird, but
That seems
yeah,
obnoxious because,
counterproductive, right?
well, I mean, no offense, but it seems obnoxious because when do you take it down? 4 days later?
Yeah, a few days later. And so that's just something that we always did kind of, I'm going to say, folkily
So,
as a
but that is
family.
an interesting thing, and I guess like people do that still, like they'll decorate their tree, but I do think that they have now, like I do believe that like decorating it on Christmas Eve night so that you're getting ready for St.
Yeah, so
Nicholas or Santa Claus to come and like
we're
all
having
that.
eggnog and
Yeah,
yeah, we would
I
just do
believe
that.
that is a very traditional, like super, super traditional method, but I think as like generations have come along and people do have their children, they are now putting their Christmas trees up just after Halloween and so that they can enjoy
Yeah.
them
Or yeah, the day
longer.
after Thanksgiving, yeah.
Oh, well, the day after
Exactly.
Thanksgiving is like what I grew up on,
Yeah.
but there are people for sure that I know that are putting it up after Halloween.
So I don't know. Again, we've kind of moved away. The boys have gotten older, and I mean, I'm excited they're coming back tomorrow or the next day. Going to be around for a while, and so, we've kind of
Are they coming
outgrown.
back to work?
Maybe I think Dr. Evans is going to put them to work, actually.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. So,
Moving.
moving.
Okay,
But
good
yeah,
for
there's a
her.
few things around here they're going to do. But yeah, so I don't know. Yes and no. We've gone from traditional Christmas lunch or dinner to non-traditional Christmas lunch or dinner to going out and eating and letting somebody else, prepare and just
Yeah.
enjoying it. And so for us, it's a little bit more about, I think, just spending time together
Sure.
and not worried about, going and cutting down the tree and getting it put up and decorated or not decorated or making the cookies and doing all this and putting all this up. And,
Yeah, I would agree.
we've really scaled back like on our house decorations as well, which I'm completely cool with because I used to be the one that had to put everything up and take it down. So yeah, it's fluid.
We're pretty similar. So my family is pretty small. It's my sister and I, my parents, mom and dad, and then my fiance Lance. And so, growing up, I would say that we had pretty thick traditions as well, right? Like we would review our old Christmas like home movies
Oh
and
yeah, you've talked about that before. I thought that was pretty cool.
yeah, so we just kind of review them and it's cheesy because like literally like 12 years ago was the same thing 12
Right.
years ago. But no, we would do that and then as
Did
a
y'all take a
family
video last year?
we did.
Okay,
Yep.
so the tradition continues.
We still take the video. That is definitely a tradition. We record
Is it on
Christmas
an iPhone
morning.
now, or do you have a
No, we
camcorder?
still have a
Oh
camcorder.
wow.
Yeah. But no, we do record opening gifts with each other on Christmas
Should do
morning.
like a Facebook Live
And so
with
I guess
that.
what's also super interesting is that we still very much like my parents still write Santa on gifts. And like we obviously know that Santa didn't deliver them down the
Yeah, so
chimney
that's kind of like
that night.
when y'all agree to get each other two presents and then you get four, and so two come from Santa and two come
Yes.
from you. So
Yes.
yeah,
Yep, exactly.
we're similar.
But we also like Lance and I, we watch A Christmas Carol. Lance watches The Muppets Christmas Carol every single year. I love to watch Serendipity. That
Okay.
is like one of my all-time favorite Christmas movies. And then I love to watch A Flintstones Christmas,
Oh wow.
which
Y'all are
is
into the
super
cartoony kind of
weird.
thing.
Yeah, super weird. But as I was saying, like when I was younger, like family would get together, we would have like family dinner, extended family, like aunts, uncles, cousins, all of that come together at my parents' house usually on Christmas Eve. We would exchange gifts. The kids would exchange gifts, the adults would exchange gifts. But as you said, as people get older, then they start to have their own little mini families and kind of spread out throughout the country and just kind of start doing their own thing. So it's been the five of us for probably the
For a
last,
while, yeah.
I don't know, 10 years or so, 12 years or so. And we are pretty low stress as well. We don't, go buy new outfits or dress up for a Christmas dinner. Sometimes we cook a traditional dinner, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we order Chinese because honestly, Chinese is always open on Christmas Day. Hint to those who don't know.
Didn't y'all like 2 years ago all get the same pajama sets
Oh
or
yeah, we
something?
have been doing the family pajama. We have that again. Like my
Okay.
dad and Lance match, my
Okay.
mom, my sister, and I match. For the last couple of years, the bowl games, I guess, yeah, the last 2 years,
Should be
bowl
some
games
football, maybe NFL
have
on,
been
but
down here, so
yeah.
Lance's family has come. So we spent Christmas Day with Lance's mom and his youngest brother last year. But no, nonetheless, we have traditions, but they're not like hardcore set traditions, if that makes sense.
Does. Okay. All right. So let's move into common, maybe toxicities, ha common Christmas hazards relating to pets.
Okay.
So I printed two articles. The one I never really thought about ornaments, because it's talking about salt dough ornaments.
So that's not true that you never thought about it. Do you remember last year
We
our
talked about this.
staff made salt dough ornaments and we decorated them? We were going to decorate them
So that's what we did. Okay.
as a
And
staff.
as a, okay.
Yeah, so last year, so historically, we have raised money for the Care Fund at Christmas by selling ornaments,
Right.
right? And so historically, they have been similar to like what you would see like the March of Dimes at Publix. You donate a dollar, you write your name on this
Paper and stick it up.
shamrock, and you
Yep.
stick it on the wall. So we had a thought process of that, and we had done it with ornaments in the past. And so we had an ivy pole, and we had a Christmas tree dangling off of it. Do you remember
I
this?
definitely remember that.
And we sold
Sad.
ornaments. We had big ornaments for $5, little ornaments for $1, and so whatever people bought, it went essentially to the care fund. And then we kind of got away from that, and we did like decorated bulb ornaments.
The tree, yeah.
And so we would put like, you know, dog mom or wolf or something like that on it with the cricket.
Yeah.
And then last year we said we're going to bring our staff together and we're going to make these dough ornaments. And we're going to decorate them and paint them, and then we're going to sell them that way. And that way that the clients have something that we kind of handmade or whatever. Well, that didn't go over so hot because not everyone can paint very well,
yeah,
including
some are
myself.
Better than others.
But I remember we met at someone's house and we made all the dough and we cooked all the things and whatever. But we absolutely talked about how salt dough can be super toxic to dogs.
Yeah.
And so it's not only us in the veterinary practice that use this dough, but it's parents who are trying to like maybe do a handprint of their child. It's preschool kids.
A salt map. I remember Jared had to make a salt map for school.
Map.
Yeah. Salt dough map. Yeah, like this big 3D. I think it was Costa Rica or something like that that he had to map out with an ocean and everything. So,
I see.
Yeah.
So salt dough is pretty malleable, but it air dries and then it's hard.
Yeah.
And so it's the same kind of thing, right? So I think what this toxicity that you're talking about is like people will decorate these ornaments, they'll put them on the tree, but then the dogs are like drawn. It's like basically salt, water, and flour.
Yeah.
And so the salt content is so high that it can be fatal.
Right.
Because it just throws these dogs, I guess.
Puts them in, out of balance physiologically. And I mean, the ultimate, I think we have talked about this before, like swine can get salt toxicity more than any other species, and ultimately cerebral edema if you get your whole salt imbalance. And so, again, let's not go deeper than that, but can be bad.
Guys, this is just a veterinary podcast. It's not like a veterinary medical podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we don't, you know.
No.
Salt toxicity can cause lethargy, frequent urination, diarrhea, and vomiting, but also it can cause seizures, trauma, coma, and even death.
So I have definitely heard that, right? Like I've thankfully never witnessed, you know, death from a dog eating a salt, whatever. But my understanding is it's not necessarily more than one ornament either. Like it can be depending on your pet's size.
Pet. Yeah.
It can be one ornament that you've made where it's
So other things a pet might eat off of the Christmas tree, popcorn strings. We used to way back when, I can remember when I was little bitty, we would string popcorn, which was actually harder than you would think, right?
Yeah. Would you do it with a needle? Did you have to like wear a thimble so you
could
poke yourself?
And then cranberries, that was the decorations that we made. And so those aren't necessarily toxic, but let's say a cat gets a hold and eats a whole string of one of those, and we have a linear foreign body, which is tinsel would be another thing.
Tinsel, which I honestly don't know that they sell. The icing tinsel is what I'm thinking.
Not necessarily the
garland, but like the stuff you used to just like throw on your tree and it would like all fall.
Yeah, I've not seen that
kind
in
of
a
like
while either.
Easter grass.
Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But tinsel and then yarn. Some people would just string yarn around or they would make ornaments and whatnot. So,
or there's
anything
like knitting hats and scarves for a family.
So anything linear like that.
Strings.
Cat foreign body. Cats love to eat strings and, you know, yarn and play shoelaces, play with it. They I don't know what goes through their mind when they start swallowing this linear foreign body, but
it's not only cats, right? Like we do see linear foreign bodies in like puppies for the same exact reason. They're just goofy and they start chewing and chomping, and they don't bite it into pieces. They just start swallowing the stuff.
I'd say at least 95% to 1, you know, 95% cats, 5% dogs.
But it's not uncommon.
So we bring this up because we had a dental floss linear foreign body that was removed this 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Here at Russell and a cat. So
yep.
So definitely a possibility.
Which I think hooks. I heard one of the doctors talking about how they have a closed garbage can in their bathroom. But if they ever leave like that ever so slight, like little tuft of dental
your
floss
pet.
Picking out, their cat just goes and swats at it.
Loves it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's the garbage can lid is not that heavy that the cat can't pull it out. So, guys, be careful if you are doing this in the bathroom.
So, other things on trees, hooks, which would probably be more a an ornament hook that you didn't put on the tree that you dropped on the ground.
Well, what about the glass from the glass bulb? Do the pets eat glass ever?
I've never known a pet to go up and like mouth an entire bowl, but if you dropped one...
My golden would.
Yeah, Tobin probably would.
My golden would go up and mouth an entire bulb, I swear.
The little hooks that we hang our ornaments with, a pet could eat that, and that could act almost like a fish hook, foreign body.
Exactly.
Lights. So they're not going to go up and eat... They're not going to eat the light, but they might chew on the cord.
The cord.
And get an electrical burn in their mouth. Mm-hmm. Likewise.
Have you ever seen electrical cords fray in the intestines and then you're worried about like penetration?
No.
Okay. When Fonzie was little, he stayed in our apartment in a kennel, but Lance had put an old VCR on the top of his cage and the cord hung down the side. Well, he chewed the wire so much, but he chewed it into like pieces. We took him to the emergency clinic and he had a bunch of like small frays of wire in his abdomen. And they did not take him to surgery, which I thought was very weird.
His
and
abdomen
at this
or
time,
his intestine?
No, in his stomach, essentially. Okay. In like his actual stomach.
Okay.
And so he was a very young puppy to me. I was in tech school. I didn't know any better at the time. And so we took him to the emergency clinic and whatever. And they told us to feed him like a half a loaf of bread. This dog is like 8 pounds. Mm. They said, just feed him a half a loaf of bread and the bread will absorb all of this and it'll help pass normally. And I thought that was super cool that we didn't have to pay thousands of dollars to go have this stuff retrieved. But I wonder now, like some of the mineralizations in his GI system,
could have been related to that, maybe.
Yeah, crazy.
For sure. Batteries at my house are super popular during the holidays because Hannah gets tons of battery-operated toys.
Sure.
And so, again, you would not think a pet would seek out like a AA battery, but who out there has experimented with a 9-volt battery and stuck it to their tongue, right? It's like we're stupid as they are. And so you get that little sensation. It's kind of an alkaline burn buzz. And so if a pet chews down on a battery, they can get a chemical burn in their mouth. Usually they're going to stop and spit it out.
Could go as far as their esophagus.
Or they could swallow it and we could have, you know, a big GI foreign body. So poinsettias, we've talked about that before. I think most people probably listening know that they are actually toxic to pets.
But not to breathe the air, right? It's like to chew on them. Yeah, and mostly the eating, leaf versus the flower, right?
Yeah, GI toxicity. So anyway, that's high points there.
Yeah. There's always like the meal that's associated, right? So like the bones that people have, all of those normal things. We had a dog come in the other day who we had to induce vomiting on for eating grapes or a grape. We did also have a dog today. Do you know what that dog ate that they were inducing vomiting
on? Rat poison.
Rat poison. Oh, that's pretty scary.
And then last week we had a dog that ate a chicken bone. A chicken wing, rather.
A chicken wing, yeah.
The drum, is that what you call the single piece, not the double
the
wing
drum,
little thing?
Yeah. Drumette, I guess.
And the owners were frantic when they got here because they saw it happen, took it to one of our sister clinics, you know. I think
it wasn't a sister clinic, actually. It was a local referral.
That's right. And they diagnosed a chicken bone in the stomach. They sent it to us. We were fortunately able to go in with our endoscope.
Endoscopy.
So went in, scoped the stomach, found the bone. We're fortunately able to grasp it in a little basket mechanism and pull it out instead of.
To your point, super fortunate, right? And I think that we had tried to tell these people like this is not always we're not always
100%
this successful. Like, you know, we may end up doing you know actual GI surgery and whatever. And they were nice, but they were like. To your point, frantic, almost rude.
Like
come
let's
on,
go, let's go.
We
got to
get this
right
going.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were just concerned about the timing, and rightfully so, for sure, because it was not adhered to anything. It wasn't past the pylorus. You were super impressive. Like, whoop.
Whoop, there it is.
I remember that. I wish I even told the clients when we, when I gave them the chicken bone back, I was like, I wish we had videoed it because it was quite impressive.
Wow. Well, thank you. Maybe. Okay, so lastly, let's talk about what we're doing in the practice and the practices. We are having our annual holiday party in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
We will have nice participation. It will be a good event. It'll be good food, good fellowship, good drink. That's something we've done forever. So I'm looking forward to that because last year we did not all come together as a group. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. You will be giving a speech.
I'm not giving a speech.
I will lead the speech giving. Dr. Wanchick will chime in, and then you will be giving a little bit
you
of a
you said that this morning,
commentary.
And I chuckled during rounds.
Yeah, so, when you are there with the microphone and you say nothing, just you're going to look silly.
I'm going to start busting Eminem rhymes again.
Yeah, you're going to look silly, and so you will be saying something to the staff. But talk about what else we've got going on in the practice internally, up front in the lobby. We talked a little bit about the care fund. We've been so busy, and unfortunately, we've not been fundraising for the care fund. But the care fund is still very active, and we use it. I was going to say every day, which is not true, but we use it quite frequently to help pets in need in our area, and even not in our area. And so,
well, we are pretty fortunate in the sense that we had a bit of money banked that we had been fundraising for years for, but it's now been 2 years since we've done a 5K.
Yeah.
I am hopeful, and I've talked with our marketing team, that we will get that back in the swing of things in the fall of this year. That is the goal. But nonetheless, to your point, what we're doing here in the practice. So we have brought in a lot of holiday items for owners to purchase for their pets because we view pets as a member of our family, and we feel like a lot of our clients do as well. And so what do we give our family? We give them gifts. And so we've brought in a lot of things that you can gift for your pet. We have dog collars that are Christmas themed. We have dog toys. We do have holiday scented candles for maybe other pet lovers in your family, for yourself, significant other, that kind of thing. We are, as a practice or as a group of practices, sponsoring some children and or some letters from the United States Postal Service program called Operation Santa.
Okay.
Yep. So
we've always done something like that, but this program is new to us, and
this program is new. Yeah, so it's interesting. So I feel like every time I read about it, I learn a little bit more than I did the first time I read about it. So Rhonda in our marketing department, she basically was like, okay, let's find some kids that, I guess, write letters to Santa or like believe, because historically we had gone to our local what is it called? We call it DFACS, but what is that even? Child Protective Services. And so we really wanted to help those kids that were in kind of the system or the foster care situations, but we felt disconnected in a way, in the sense that like we didn't get a letter from the child. We got like a list of things that the child needed from the department, which is ideal, but at the same rate, like it doesn't give that heartwarming sensation back to
just
people.
Felt it was time to change our giving.
Yeah. Method. And, you know, a couple of years earlier than that, like we had found a family at a local church that was in need. And
yeah,
we had helped
families
that.
And,
So this year, Rhonda found that the United States Postal Service offers opportunities to adopt and respond to children's letters that they write to Santa. So I recently watched a documentary, and this program was started by the United States Postal Service in 1912. Mm-hmm. And basically what they did is they authorized postmasters to open letters that were not addressed to them, but that were addressed to Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And so they read the letter and they responded to the letter. Well, that has then kind of turned into a reading and a responding and a gifting. And so from what I understand, the program is not, there are no financial requirements. I think anyone in the United States is open to write to Santa via the United States.
Well, I would, yes, I think anybody can write to Santa.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the program is not a nonprofit. It's not a 501c3.
Yeah, it's just what comes to the post office.
It's just whatever. Yeah, so, yes. But nonetheless, in 2020, Operation Santa kind of got like a big wow factor. They were like, they made this documentary, they did all of that. They did apparently share stories of where like children had written to Santa, and then they like shared that the kids like got their gifts that they wanted. They got a response.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So nonetheless, we, it's over 20,000 letters, 21,000 letters that get written in. We have two children that we've adopted.
We have two out of 21,000.
Yes. And so we've adopted these two letters. We will be adopting or responding to them, and then we will be mailing them gifts. So one is a 5-year-old and one is a 12-year-old. The 5-year-old has asked for a couple of
things. As has
the 12-year-old.
Yeah.
But clearly with an age difference, there's like more toy related versus like more like personal items.
Which is fine. That's more varied opportunity for us to give, right? Some
of
people
course,
want to give to
course.
Younger kids. Some are okay, you know, or want to do, you know, have
yeah.
a different
But nonetheless, there. They're handwritten letters. And I think it's really important that the staff gets to see, like,
yep.
it's not just a list from a department that
yep.
says,
letters
like,
are posted
hey, we need,
back in our
you
treatment
know,
area.
These five things for this person. It's actually, like, handwritten from this child who wants something.
Yeah, great idea. I tried to spearhead adopting a child, a family, maybe a couple of children, special needs, and it wound up being down in Middle Georgia. And we just ran out of time. I didn't start that soon enough. And so I'd like to do that this next year, but I need to start it earlier.
Yeah.
I have a lot of contacts, and there truly are just like these letters. We don't really know what their quote-unquote needs are, but if they're writing to Santa, we can actually help fulfill kind of a fantasy situation, I think.
Of course. It's super, it's what we talked about, right? Like when we first opened this episode, you said getting in the holiday spirit. I think that's really what it's about, right? Like it's making that magic, if you will. Dr. Connor shared with me today. She said, I got an email from my kid's school. It's a total surprise, but they've brought in this like production crew to create a snow scene at school.
What,
and
for
so,
the thing tonight she's going to, or
no, for the kids tomorrow.
Okay.
So the kids tomorrow, when they arrive at school, the field is going to be covered in snow,
cool.
and they're going to have like a snow slide and all this stuff for the kids. It's like essentially a field day.
Gotcha.
But the kids have no idea, and I told her, I'm like, how crazy is that? That like when you're a kid, it's like you have no idea that snow can be fake. It's like just it's magic,
yeah.
and you wished for it and it happened. It's so
yeah.
amazing.
No, that's pretty cool.
And so that's what I hope that we can do for these kids who are writing in yeah. to Santa.
Well, way to go, Hebron Christian Academy, for that. So.
Oh, is that who that is?
I'm assuming.
I didn't know that's where her kids were going.
Yeah.
That's where your kids went as well.
Yep.
They never had a snow day when you were there.
Nothing I'm aware of. No. Not a fake one anyway.
Did your kids went literally all through elementary, middle, and high?
Asher went to kindergarten at
Montessori?
No, at
Mill Creek. Okay.
Jared, we tried to put him into Montessori. He refused. And so he convinced us to homeschool him for his first 2 or 3 years, maybe 2 years.
Oh my gosh. As a 5-year-old, how does he convince you to homeschool him?
Yes, he is extremely convincing.
Wow.
And then he went to Hebron for the rest of his career.
I did not know that about Jared.
Yeah.
He was homeschooled for the first 3 years of school.
I think maybe two.
Wow.
Maybe two. But yeah, he's a very good communicator.
Is that what you call it? Or did he just like cry and you guys were
no,
like,
it was
we
not,
can't.
No, it was not that.
We can't send you to
no,
school.
It was not that. So, okay. Blanket thing real quick. And then I think we need
Ooh,
to wrap
yeah,
up.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
like,
the blanket.
Going really long because you've been very talkative
oh,
today.
Oh gosh. I've seen your hand gestures. Like, calm it down. I get excited about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, as far as the blanket thing goes. So we've done this for a couple of years now.
Pause. We already have done a collect canned foods.
For
we
Thanksgiving.
We did that, and we've already taken that.
So that's the 11 Alive. Yep. And so they do a canned food drive, and we help facilitate by collecting cans here.
Yep.
Historically, we've done like complimentary nail trims for your donations. This year, we did $5 account credits because, quite frankly, we're so busy that I don't think we could accommodate in free nail trims. And so we did $5 account credits for that. And then, so thank you for all of those who donated. And then we did turn that into 11 Alive. And they help feed families and communities locally here in Georgia.
And then last but not least, the blankets.
Last but not least. So a couple of years back, we started this buy a blanket, give a blanket situation. And so we go and we buy small fleece throw blankets in bulk. We tie them up with pretty little bows with either dog or cat treats. And so you get a deal for $9. You get a blanket and a bag of treats, which the bag of treats essentially costs usually $5 here in the practice. And so now you get a bag of treats and a blanket for $9 for your pet. And then every time you buy a blanket, we donate a blanket to the Gwinnett Humane Friends.
Right, local.
Society of Humane Friends of Gwinnett.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's really exciting. We've done this, like I said, for a couple of years in a row.
Don't most people, when they do that, they actually give both blankets?
A lot of people, they'll take the bag of treats and they'll say, give my blanket as well to the shelter pets.
Yeah.
So,
that's cool.
It's super cool. It's one of those things, again, like, we don't make any money off of it, honestly, because by the time, like, we put the treats on there, we buy the blankets, we have a staff member tie them together. Yeah, but it's a feel good thing, right? Like, our staff gets excited about it. They tell people, we love to see the massive pile of blankets that we're donating. It's very cool.
So one last thing for me.
Yes, sir.
When you go to Starbucks, which I know you do.
You're really changing the subject, huh?
I am, but I'm not. This just popped into my mind. And you pull up to the window and you ordered whatever, your black coffee, whatever you ordered. And you go to pay for it and they say, oh, the car in front of you paid for yours. Is that called pay it back or pay it forward?
Pay it forward.
Okay, pay it forward. And so,
because you're paying forward the gesture, you're not paying behind, you're not paying it back to the person behind you. You're paying forward the gesture.
So roughly how many times has that happened to you?
At Starbucks specifically, maybe 3 times.
I'm going to say 3, 4, 5 times for me as well.
Do you ever
initiate? So that's part B. Part A is, have you ever said,
oh, thanks, and drove off?
And drove off? Versus, do you say, I'll do the same for the car behind me?
So the thing is that it has to end at some point, right?
It does. And it always does, because when I go back the next day, it's not still going on.
Yeah, they're not still like, hey, here's your free drink. No, I always say I'll pay for the car behind me, but I have been burned, right? Like, I'll order one thing and the car behind me has like a van full.
So there was a TikTok thing the
other day. I was
going to
have like a $6 drink, but now I have a $26
order. Well, there was a TikTok the other day that it was like, he's like, yeah, I'll go ahead and do the same for the car behind me. They're like, okay, sir, that's $178. And he sat there and pondered back and forth. And he's like, okay, thanks. See you later.
He's like,
go ahead and cancel that order.
Yeah.
So what was part B?
So, but hold on. The Starbucks person will usually kind of give you that like,
Are you sure?
I think the amount is more than what yours was going to be. Are you sure about that?
So I have never initiated, but I must have watched a TikTok. I talked to somebody about it. Is the giving season. My goal, I'm going to do that.
You're going to initiate.
I'm going to initiate before Christmas, probably this week. I'm going to initiate that because I get nothing out of it other than I'm going to pay for my drink. Or drinks.
Yeah, but you know what?
Water's usually free. I usually get a coffee and a water.
This is where, like, my schemey brain goes. Like, who says that the Starbucks line person doesn't pocket your money and tells the person,
okay,
like,
okay, you can't think, Angel,
hey,
you can't think
it's
like
$7.50.
You can't think like that.
I'm just saying. It could happen.
It could happen. But
it could happen. But the thing is that Starbucks,
the season to be jolly.
They all wear the headset, so they would know.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, no, that's commendable that you want to start or you want to initiate. I don't know that I always go to Starbucks when there's enough people to initiate, because I won't sit in line for forever.
Yeah.
I will
not.
I
just
not.
Have
I
never
refuse.
Thought about it in line, but I'm again, that's my commitment. I'm going to do that.
You need to make sure that there's at least two cars behind you so that the person behind you gets to pay it forward.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
Very good.
Okay. It's exciting. So high five on your commendable. We'll hear about your initiation.
Well, I'm never going to know because I don't get anything in return. I just drive off and I hope that I made somebody's day.
Yeah, but you can at least tell us that, hey, like I did this and the bill was $77,000 at Starbucks.
Yeah, the local Starbucks I go to, it's sad. Like when I go in and make an order, because I always go through the drive-thru.
Uh-huh.
And I go in and I make an order. They'll either say, oh, you're Brad, or, oh, you didn't want whatever else I normally order. They're like, oh, I recognize your voice.
Brad, you don't want a water today
so,
in addition to your coffee?
Yeah, so here's my little hint to the world. When you go to Starbucks, unless you're in Las Vegas, you can always order a water, an ice water, and it's free.
So I would say unless you're in some sort of destination city, because we went to Orlando, Lance and I, and Rhonda, actually, and we walked outside of the park, and there was a Starbucks, and they have ice water in, like, a thing that you go up and you get your little one-ounce cup, and
right.
It's free. If you ask them for an ice water, it's $1.50.
Wow. Used to be at Disney, you could go get a free cup of ice up at any vendor, and then you could ask them to put water in it, and it was no charge. So,
yeah.
Anyway, okay.
So we, total sidebar.
Good.
We live in America, but I've never really been outside of the country aside from like Mexico and the Caribbean.
Okay.
But my understanding is that in other countries, like refills are not free and water is not free.
Typically, but ice water is historically free in the U.S.
In
a
America.
Cup of ice with water. But if you walk up and say, I'd like a water, they're going to sell you a bottle of water.
Yes, but I'm just saying, like, that is America.
Yeah.
Like, that does not happen in every country.
Exception, food trucks, events and whatnot where they count the cups, they're not going to give you a free cup of ice or water.
Yeah, that's crazy to me, too.
So,
who counts their cups?
Anyway,
right.
Happy holidays, everyone. Angel's about to sign us out.
Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Please follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. You can listen to our podcast or read our podcast on our website. But no matter where you're listening, please hit subscribe. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Dramatic. Bye, guys.